Welcome everybody to the fourth shiur on Tchilas V'Zmanenu. In our previous shiur we went through the first proof that Murex is the correct source of Tchilas. It was the proof based on the Simone Chazal that the Chazal gave for the Chilazin and for Tchilas. And we saw how the Murex matches perfectly with the Simone Chazal for the Chilazin and for the Tchilas. In Mirtz Hashem in this shiur we are going to go through another four proofs that the Murex is indeed the correct source of Tchelas. The first one is going to be to go through the history of the Chilazin and of Tchelas, and then match it up, how it matches with the history of the Murex die. What do we know about Tchelas? What do we know about the history of Tchelas? So the first thing we know that it speaks about it in Tanakh. We know that, like we spoke about it earlier, that it was a world dye. It was a dye used by all different nations. It was used by Persia. It was used in the times of Achashverosh. We see this listed in Esther. We saw it was used by Rome, in Iye Elisha, or in Cyprus, which is islands off of Greece. We saw from the Gemara in Erevin that it was used as a commonly used dye, a world dye. We know from Divrei Hayamim and Melachim that it was something that was produced by Tzur, along with the Gemara in Shabbos, which says that it was produced by Tzur from the times of the first Beis Hamikdash. We know that the Tcheles got lost. How it got lost? When it got lost? So we know the last recording of Tcheles having been used was in the times of the early Savroim by Rav Achoy. That it says a story that somebody brought him Tcheles. It says it seemed like it was an event. It seemed like it wasn't a common thing to have Tcheles then. So somebody brought him Tcheles. They brought Tcheles and they tested it. They wanted to see if it was called Ilan or Tcheles. So you see, but that was the last recorded usage of Tcheles. What do we know from before that? Let's look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Beis and Aleph. The Gemara brings down a story that there was a message sent to Rava. It was a coded message. Rashi deciphers the code for us. Zug ba mi Rekes. There was a peer of Talmidei Chachamim that came from Rekes. V'tofsei Nesher. And the Nesher was Tofes them. Rashi explains that means to say that was a Chel Parsiim, an army of Persians, a Persian army, and in their hands they were holding, they had things which were made in Luz, which was referring to Tcheles. Umay niu Tcheles. What were the things made in Luz? Umay niu Tcheles. Bezchus harachamim, ubezchusam yatsu b'shalem. And bezchus harachamim shemayim, and bezchusam, they were talmidei chachamim, they were yatsu b'shalem. They weren't, nothing happened to them. In other words, we see from here that Tcheles was something which was outlawed by the Malchus. And that's why, we see a reason, the reason why Tcheles was rare. Because the Malchus was being geyser on them. Anybody who was caught was being punished. These people, Baruch Hashem, were zeichet to be yatsum l'shalom. However, we see that the Siba, the reason why Tcheles was being lost, was from Gzeres Malchus. The Rashi says Chel Parsiim. If you look, we see the Ben Yoyada comments on Rashi. He says, Tofsei Nesher, Koyal Edoim, it's going on Rome, V'leyal Paras, Ukemashakos of Rashi Zal. Why ki be'eretz Yisrael lo yohayu Tachas memshalas paras, el tachas memshalas edoim. He points out that it can't be that it was chel persiim, as a Persian decree, because they weren't under the rulership of Persia at the time of the Gemara. They were under the rulership of Rome.
The Nesher is the symbol of Rome.
The Nesher is the symbol of Rome.
The eagle is the symbol of Rome.
Oh yeah? Ah.
States.
So we see from here that the Tcheles, that there were Gzeres, Roman Gzeres on Tcheles. So how far back do we go? When did Tchelis start being lost? So based on this idea that the Romans made Gezeiros, that's how Tchelis got lost, we have a very wonderful pshat from Rishol Barkin in the Sefri that we started off with, that we weren't sure about. So the Sefri says like this, and we're going to go over it again, we said in the first year. This time we're going to go over it with the pshat of Rishol Barkin. And keep your Maram Kaimis for this year out also, because we're going to see a Medrash there as well. The Sefri says like this, Omar Rabbi Yaisi Pam Achas Hayisi Mahalach Mikziv Litzur. One time I was going from Ksiv to Tzur, Umatzasi Zaki Necher, Amarti Loi, Parnasas Chabama. What is your Parnasa? What is your business? Omar Li Michilazin. He said to him, it's my Parnasa is from the Chilazin. Amarti Loi, I said to him, V'chi Matzu, is the Chilazin Matzu? So again, already from here, if we're going to understand the Sefri, Kipshutai, we see that already that Tchelis is starting to go. It's not Matzui anymore. Now, it could be that people had it still, and it was still going on, but we already see the starting of a not Matzui. And which would also fit well with the Arizal, if you want to say that the Arizal said that Tchelis is something which is specific by the Shaykh to the Beis HaMikdash, something that we had by the Beis HaMikdash. Even though we had it for 1,000 years after the Beis HaMikdash. But already starting from the times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that's when the Tchelis started becoming lost. It was going into a process of Nignaz. There was like a sunset on the Tchelis. V'chi motzihu, Amar li, Hashemayim, Ashvua sheyesh mokam bayam, shemutal baharim, v'samam yoyis makif oysoysoy. There's a place in the ocean, that's mutal baharim. A place in the ocean that's surrounded by harim. What's a place in the ocean which is surrounded by harim? That's Sulma de Tzur. Again, we're talking about somebody who is by Tzur. And Sulma de Tzur are mountains, they're cliffs that go down straight into the ocean. So you have a place in the ocean which is surrounded by mountains. V'samomiyos makifos oisoi. And samomiyos surround it. Now, what are samamiyos? So, in the Medrash, we can understand what samamiyos are from another Medrash. There's a Medrash in Mishlei on the pasuk of samamis biyodayim tisapes that says, what are samamis? Omar Rabbi Yirmiya dohi edoim. This is Rome. Umsa rishiyasa. They call the Kaima Taman Mishtakho. Samamis is Rome. So if we're going to put this Medrash and Mishlei of understanding Samamis is a remez to the Romans together with the Sefri, that would mean that the Samamis, Makifos Aisei, are the Romans surrounding it. That the Romans would kill anybody who would come to try to get it. To get this chilazin. V'nimik b'mkoymai, and he would melt in his spat, amarti, so I said, nikru shagonos v'tzadikim lasid lavoi. So he sees, so Rabbi Yossi sees that this chiles is going into a process of nignaz, and it will eventually come back again, the later, as we can say, can closer to the closer we come to the time of Geula, the more makim it is for the Ayur of the Gula to come back and bring Tchelis back. The same way it faded out, it could fade in as well. So now, if we're taking this understanding, so we see the Makar to say that Tchelis already started its decline by the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which is the time of Rabbi Yaisi, he lived right after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And then it went and it slowly decreased, till we see by Rava, there were Xeris Romi, which are in full effect. But they still had Tchelis all the way down to the times of the Savraim of Ravachoy. And that's when it went gone. And then after that, what do we know? We know of what the Ramban says. We get to the times of the Rishonim. The Ramban in Parashas Tetzaveh says, "Vatcheles gam hayoyim." Also today, we have tcheles. Lo yorim ish es yodoi lilvoish chutz mi melech goyim. But however, nobody would wear tcheles. Nobody's allowed to lift his hands to wear tcheles except for melech goyim, except for the king of goyim. Melech goyim is a way of saying Edoim. Like we see in Parashas Lech Lecha, V'sidol Melech Goyim Zu Malchus Edoim. We see from the Ramban that in the times that we had the dye of Tcheles, he had it in his times, he knew about the dye of Tcheles, however it wasn't accessible to anybody except the Malchus. So we see from here, what was the reason why the Romans made decrees against Tcheles, that nobody, no regular person is allowed to wear Tcheles? Was because it was exclusive for the Malchus. Some people make the mistake that the Ramban is referring to the color Tcheles, not according to the dye Tcheles, but again, we said before, Tcheles is not a color. Tcheles is a dye. Like Tehillas Shoni is a dye, Argon is a dye, Tcheles is a dye. It's not a color. Even more so, you can say that it's referring to the color of Tcheles, because we know for a fact that the color Tcheles was used all over Europe. They used woad to get the color blue. Woad is an indigo plant. Like we mentioned before, there are a number of indigo plants. One is Isatis. Isatis is woad. Woad was being used throughout Europe, throughout the Middle Ages. There was no ban on using woad. So Tcheles as a color, if you want to refer to the color of Tcheles was used during that time period, and it seems that they were even to make a purple, similar to imitation of the purple, Tyrian purple, was also good because there's also people who used to use woad together with yellow dyes to make an imitation purple. So you see that the coloring was not the issue. The Gzeris of the Romans were not on the color. We never found that they were Gzeris on the color. The Gzeris were on the murex and using the real purple. It's called real purple, true purple. That was the Gzeris. So again, so to say the Ramban is referring to a color, that's not possible. So again, just to sum up,
the Roman Malchus used purple,
not blue. The Roman Malchus used both.
The royal purple is
Yadua. It was Yadua that they used Tyrian purple. They also used Hyacintha, which is a blue. They used blue as well. Let's sum up what we have so far. So again, Tcheles, we're looking at the history of Tcheles was as a world dye. It was used all over the world by Elisha, by Paras, by Tzur. It was produced by Tzur. But when it came to already the times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it seems like it was starting to decline, that the Romans made Gzeiris against using Tcheles, and they would punish anybody who would use Tcheles for their own personal use, until it reached the times of Rava, the Amoraim, and where we see that there was already the Gzeiris were in full effect and they were afraid to be transporting Tcheles. Till it reached the Savroim, and then it ended there. We don't know of any other, we don't know of Tcheles being used after that. And the Ramban writes afterwards that, as far as we know today, the only ones we have Tcheles today, but however, the only ones that are using it are the Malchus of Edoim. Now let's go to the history of the Murex. What was the history of the Murex? So the history of the Murex was that we know that it was used by the kings of the world. We know that it was used by the Greeks and the Romans. We know we spoke about it last time, that it was found in Elisha, and we know that it was produced by Tzur. We all of a sudden we find when the Romans came up, Julius Caesar was the first one that we know that did such a thing. he was the first Roman Caesar who reigned towards the end of the Tkufa of the Beis the Bayis Sheni, and he started making decrees against using murex dye. No common people were allowed to be using murex dye. It was very limited. And from there, these decrees were taken on by Nero and started getting harsher and harsher. Nero was the one who was the Caesar right before the Churban Bayis Sheni. Then Domitian took it over, and the Xeris started getting worse and worse. Till we found by Theodosius and Diocletian, there we have recorded that they were killing people for wearing murex dye. Let's look at some of the Makaris that we have inside. No private person shall have power to dye or sell purpure goods, silk or wool, which is called blata, axiblata, and hykintha. And if anyone shall sell cloth of the aforesaid murex, he may know that he incurs risk of losing his property and his head. So we see, as time went on, we see that these xeris took extreme, it was a craze. The historians talk about it as like a mishagas. All of a sudden, the realm they had, it was always a prized possession by all the kings. Everybody was machshavit. All of a sudden, when it came to Rome, they started going mishuga, and they started making these decrees that nobody's allowed to use it. It was a mishagas. And they did it until Constantine. He was like, I think, the most chomer of everybody. And then, in 1453, was when Constantinople was overthrown, fell. The entire Roman government collapsed, and with that, we've never heard of dying with murex again. From then on, the murex was lost. So if this is the only thing we knew about the chilazin, imagine, the only thing we knew about the chilazin and treles was this. We knew there was a blue dye that was used by the kings of the world. Along comes the Roman government, they institute decrees on it, and then all of a sudden it ceases to exist from the populace over the course of time, and we don't have any Tcheles Bizmanenu anymore. And then we have the murex, which underwent exactly the same process. It was used by the world, by the kings of the world. The Romans set decrees on this murex, and killed people for wearing it on their own. And the murex went away, was lost to the common people, until it was only for the malchus. And then the malchus fell, and it was gone. Imagine this exactly. That itself is one of the biggest riyas, that this is it. You don't need anything more than that. So that is the second proof that we have. It's a standalone proof. Even if that was the only thing that we knew, you could base the Tcheles on this alone. Now, just to add a note, I'd like to say a very interesting note on this topic of the history. That, again, the Tcheles, the loss of Tcheles, started with the Xeris of Edom, with Julius Caesar. And it started.
Where is this a quote from?
It has a quote from the Justinian Codex, a book of the laws that the Romans were geyser in their time period. It's just a note. So the loss of Tcheles started and ended with Malchus Edom. It started with Edom, when they're being geyser, Xeris, ready against Tcheles, and the Arizal said that Tcheles is something which is miuchad to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Tkufa of the Beis HaMikdash. So when Titus of Russia destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he was in essence destroying the Tcheles as being a part of the Yidden, to be worn by the Yidden. And it ended with Edom, with the fall of Constantinople, with the fall of the Roman Empire. So that's when Tcheles was lost from the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a refuah b'teich l'maka. It's a fascinating thing to think about. You know, we've quoted a number of times Pliny the Elder. His work of natural history was instrumental in identifying and bringing back the Tchelis, the Chalazim for Tchelis. Who was Pliny the Elder? Pliny the Elder was a historian from the Tkufa of the Churban Bayis Sheni. He was a friend of Titus HaRasha. Pliny the Elder wrote a lot of books. You know, he was a writer, he was a lawyer, he was a writer, but he spent a lot of time writing and he wrote many, many books. The only book that survived was Natural History, his book on natural history. How did it survive? So Pliny the Elder, towards the end of his life, he dedicated this book, and he sent this book to be publicized. Who did he dedicate it to? He dedicated it to Titus HaRasha, and he gave it over to go ahead and be brought out to the world. And that's why this is the only book that survived from all of Pliny's books. And in his dedication page, he writes, when he's dedicating it to Titus, he calls him by the title of Imperator, and that he was consul 6 times. Where did he get the title Imperator, and what was his consul 6 times? It was a title of honor given to him for his military victory of the destruction of Yerushalayim. So we see a fascinating thing. In the Churban of Yerushalayim, the Maisa, the person himself, who was Machir Yerushalayim, and it was through, because of that, Tchelis was lost. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mizdamen, that person himself, in that time exactly, the seeds to bring Tchelis back should be planted. Is a refuah mitech the Makkah. Yisrael Barkin, when I told this over to him, he pointed out it's a similar idea we find by Columbus discovering America exactly at the same time of the Spanish Inquisition. I think it was the same month. He was that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when Kadosh Baruch Hu was bringing the Makkah to Klal Yisrael, mitech the Makkah, Kadosh Baruch Hu was already preparing the refuah. But Klal Yisrael is going into Golus now. But there should be a place already starting to be set up. When Klal Yisrael are going to undergo Golos, they're going to have a place to go to. I just wanted to share it. To me, that was a very fascinating idea. So now let's move on to the next proof. The third proof, I'm going to say it over the way Rabbi Yisrael Barkin said it over. He said it over very nicely. And it's a standalone proof. That it's a very, very simple proof. If the only thing we knew, already we spoke about in the first year, that even if the only thing we knew that was that we have a marine creature that gives a blue dye, that would be enough to say that it's Tchelis. Because it's 1 in 1.2 million creatures that give a blue dye. But even if we're not going to go with that, we're going to say the simple fact that we have a sea creature which gives a blue dye, which was used and found and used in exactly the place where Tchelis was used. And the Gemara doesn't breathe one word about it. The Gemara talks about Kol Ilan, how you can't use that, how to differentiate between Tchelis and Kol Ilan, because Kol Ilan is puzzle. But this other dye, which is sitting there, right next to the Tchelis, exactly the same time, same place, and the Gemara is not saying anything about not being able to use it. Now that was even more similar, even from a sea creature. So if somebody would imagine, okay, maybe I could use something else for Tchelis as well. For sure they would go to the sea creature. Now, people say, maybe they didn't want to use the Murex dye because it was more expensive. I could think of 101 reasons why somebody would use the Murex. You don't even need a reason, but if you want a reason, there's no shortage of reasons why somebody might decide to use the Murex instead of Tchelis. It could be range anywhere from being mahadirit, because this is a very, if you want to tell me that what Tchelis was an expensive dye, a very expensive dye, right? The Maram says, tachlis hayaker. And Murex was even more expensive than that. It was tachlis hayaker. So they wouldn't want to use it. But maybe the person wanted to use something that's tachlis hayaker, because that's being mahadir the mitzvah. If you're not going to tell me that you can't, so I would think that you could. It could go all the way down to the fact that maybe the guy only has access to the Murex and he doesn't have access to the Tcheles. He has it in his house. He has it in his house. Murex die. He doesn't have it in his house. Tcheles die. It could go to the point you can make up another reason. Maybe his two Talmid Chacham that were coming from Rekes, they weren't so lucky. And they weren't able to make it. So he had to suffice for Murex die. And the possibilities are endless. The point is that if the Gemara held that Murex was puzzle, if this wasn't Tcheles, or if it was puzzle for Tcheles, the Gemara would need to say it.